in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ready? All right. Well, can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Please have a seat this morning. When the brothers went back home this morning, I was trying to find my part of harmony in there. I love it. I love it. Years ago, I used to sing in a group before I got saved. And but you know, we sang anyway, whether we were saved or not. Brothers, a couple of the songs reminded me of those days. But it's wonderful when you can sing them, and they really do have meaning to you now. And you're not just singing a song, isn't it? Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I'm glad you're in love with Jesus. I really mean that. There's no greater one to love on earth than him. And then to express that love tangibly to one another. Because how do you love a God whom you have never seen? And you cannot love those who are in his image and his likeness. And so thus, we love him and we love the brethren. Hallelujah. Friday night, I told you I had spent from November until now in the tents with Abraham. Once again, rehearsing a lot of what happened in his life and relating it in what manner I could to my own journey. Because all of us, we're journeying, and we're journeying back into him. And from our perspective, as far as the covenant that we are walking in today is concerned, we can say that in just many powerful ways, it started with Abraham. Now, I told you Friday night, and I had you to do this, I had you to pinch between your fingers Genesis chapter 1. Through 11, remember that? Now, if you look at my Bible, in case that you have one of those technological Bibles, but I still carry the script. If you look at my Bible, that's not very much of the Bible, is it, as far as what is written? This is Genesis 1 through 11. But what that represents is 2,000 years of history, Bible history. Moses desiring to give an account of the beginning and walk them through history because they need to understand why God has called them a special treasure, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And therefore, the account is there. Now, I want you to do something else. I want you to get chapter 12 of Genesis, and I want you to go all the way over to Acts chapter 2. Chapter 12 of Genesis, go to Acts chapter 2. Now, the reason that I'm doing this exercise is because we learn in different ways. Not all of us learn exactly alike. Some of us are very visual people, and we learn, you know, through visualization. Some of us are what you would call auditory learners, and we learn best by hearing. And then some of us are what you call tactile learners. We learn best when we're able to put our hands on it, we're able to touch it. But most people are a combination of all three, or, you know, or a couple of the three. Rarely is it just one. Now you got Genesis 12 through Acts chapter 2. Come on, hold it up. How much of your Bible do you have? You've got the bulk of your Bible, don't you? But you know what that represents? The next 2,000 years. Because this is where the story of Abraham begins. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 2, we move away from one single nation to where now it is inclusive of all the families of the earth. But the story in here starts with the man. That man was childless. God promised him a son. But even before he gave him the promise of a son, he said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Now, if you don't even have a child, the first thing you're going to say, okay, God, that's wonderful, but when are we going to get started? Because, you know, my wife, she's getting up there. I mean, he was 75 when God was talking to him about this. She being 10 years younger, she was 65. Now, I don't think there are very many 65-year-old women in here who want to start having children. Come on, sisters. It's all right to talk freely. I promise you right now, the brother's not bothered either. I mean, come on, at 65, we don't want a kid running around tapping our knee and we're trying to get a nap. And don't pretend you don't get naps. I know you get naps. Wake up and ask yourself, my God, when did I go to sleep? But that's when the story begins with him at 75, and God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And it's going to start with a son. And then that son, he produces two sons. And then one of those two sons, in fact, both of them, actually produces 12 sons. Now look at the multiplication principle. From 1 to 2 to 12. When I was first married, I said, hallelujah, we're going to have us an apostolic team. And after 2, she said, who's going to have the rest of them? Now, when you're young and foolish and lack knowledge, you say a whole lot of stuff. I hadn't even thought about, paying the bills. I hadn't even thought about, far enough ahead about college, universities, and then specialty schools after the initial degree. I hadn't even thought about all that stuff. And so, experience allowed me to change my mind. See, come on, some things you say in your immaturity, but when you get a little bit of experience. Everybody wants to go to Africa until you get on a plane. And I'm not even going to talk about the possibility of turbulence over that Atlantic Ocean. And you look out there and you look down, all you can see is deep blue water. And you know that your leg is not 20,000 feet long, so you're not going to stay above the water if that thing go down. Everybody want to go until you have to do it. You see, experience is a powerful teacher. It doesn't have to be a teacher that necessarily rescues us all the time, but it's a powerful teacher. And what the Lord does in this section of the Bible is start with this man, and he doesn't cover up anything. I mean, he shows us their positives. He shows us their boo-boos. Hello?